Welcome to the Goals Podcast, the business case for women's sports, where we explore every corner of the women's sports industry from the field to the front office. I'm Caroline Fitzgerald, and I'm here to prove that it's good business to be in the business of women's sports. Today's episode is brought to you by Ally, a change maker in women's sports, steadfast in their commitment to the fight for media equity, because we're all better off with an ally. Our guest today is Nancy Hensley, a founding member of Mercury 13, which is a multi-club ownership group focused on acquiring controlling stakes in pro women's football teams across Europe and Latin America. Welcome to the show, Nancy.
Thank you. I'm super excited to be here.
Nancy, I am super excited to have you here. It is just such an honor to chat with you. I can't wait to learn more about Mercury 13, which is newly launched, newly announced. You guys have really rolled up your sleeves and dug right into changing the women's sports industry. So we're going to talk a lot about Mercury 13 today. But before we get there, I'd love to start by hearing more about you, because I know you've had a really interesting and non-traditional career journey when it comes to sports. So I'd love to hear an overview of your background.
Sure. Yes. Thanks. Again, I'm super excited to be here. Very humbled to be here because I've been so inspired by a lot of the guests that you've had. So it's very humbling for me to be a guest here. So thank you. So a little bit about me. I have not had the traditional route into sports. I was the kid that played every sport you can think of. I did not play professionally, but I was the kid that tried everything: basketball, volleyball, soccer, hockey, track, you name it. But I did not play professionally, but I did really come up through the tech space. So I spent 20 years at IBM, always in the data and analytics space. I literally fell in love with data analytics when I was in my consulting days right before IBM. And I really felt like data could really make a difference in the world, could change our lives, could make us smarter, right? And so that's what I made my career on. I did lots of different roles while I was at IBM. It was product, marketing, tech sales, digital transformation. That was my last role, was chief digital officer there. So I spent a lot of time in the Watson, and really excited to see what they're doing now around generative AI and some of the cool stuff they did at the US Open. But I was always a very vocal advocate of women in tech and diversity. And so it was interesting when I finally made the jump into sports, which was in 2020, and I joined as the chief product and marketing officer at Stats Perform. One of the first things I noticed was the lack of diversity of women in sports, and particularly in sports tech. So I thought, well, here we go. I'm re-challenged. And it was also through that journey of being at Stats Perform. We were a sports data and analytics company. We were doing some really cool things around AI and analytics. And it was through that I also started to see the passion that I've developed around the inequity of women in sports. And through that, I've met a lot of women and started to read the stories and started to dig into it a little bit more. And that same sort of pivotal moment when I was like, oh, I need to do data analytics, I started to get that same kind of feeling inside of, this is something I need to focus on. And so I remember when one of my colleagues sent me this article about Sam Kerr, and the journalist was trying to chronicle her career. And in the process of doing that, he had hit all of these roadblocks around, I can't find video highlights and I can't find data and stats. And I thought, why is this happening? She's the best striker in the world. This would never happen if it was on the men's side. And so when Victoria called me about this idea, it was like this lightning strike for me. This is what I need to be working on. So here I am.
So here you are, one of the founding members of Mercury 13. What is Mercury 13 for anybody who's listening that sure. isn't familiar with this incredible sure. new ownership group?
So as you said, we're a multi-club ownership group. We're focused exclusively on women's, I don't know whether I should say soccer or football, because I tend to say football. So I'm going to say football, but for the US audience, that means soccer.
So perfect. That sounds great.
We're setting out to raise $100 million fund to invest in and really redefine the ownership paradigms that are also really very different in Europe and Latin America than they are here in the States. And that really includes being this global voice for challenging a lot of the current issues that keep this sport from growing for women. Equity, like media exposure, all the things that you talk about all the time that is the same challenge in almost every women's sport. But we have this shared belief that if we focus on this as a business, and if we focus on this underserved women's football enthusiast, we can really tap into this commercial potential. So bottom line, we are this global group of experts that come from tech and media and football. Some of the group are ex-professional players. And we truly believe that this is a good business. And we're setting out to prove that by investing in teams and creating more commercial success around them.
I love that. And I want to go back to one thing you said, this underserved football enthusiast. Can you talk more about that person?
Yeah, I think there's been a lot recently about that, the fan being different. You know, we've been talking about that for quite some time. And it's interesting when you look at the demographic, it is a mix of men and women. It's about half and half. It is a younger fan. It is a more educated fan. And so I think there is this weird myth. In fact, I was getting into a little bit of a, not an argument, but discussion on LinkedIn that men don't watch women's sports. And I was like, dude, did you look at the pictures up from Nebraska a week ago? Do you think 93,000 were all women? No. So I think it's important to really understand who that audience is and what they align to, right? And that's one of the things we really want to focus on is really understanding that fan and providing the experience that's right for them.
Love that. And I think that's so smart. As you treat this like a business, as you approach women's sports, like the business that it is, really understanding that hair on fire customer is going to be key to the success here.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear the story of how Mercury 13 came to be. So can you take us through the organization from idea to inception?
Sure. So first, I should start with the story behind the name, because not everybody will be familiar with what the name represents, Mercury 13. So back in 1969, as the space program was emerging and there was that first group of astronauts that were being groomed to go to the moon, we all know who they were. There was also the same doctor who was running them through all the medical and stress tests was really fascinated by how women would respond to that same set of tests. And so he tested a group of women and 13 made it through the tests. And what was interesting is that in some of the tests, like the stress test, the women outperformed the men. So this was a test where they were trying to, I guess, create the same kind of environment as being in space. So you were floating in a completely dark room in warm water. And the men lasted like 45 minutes at the max, whereas the women lasted up to 8 hours. And one of the women had, I think, 8 or 9 children. And she was like, hey, if you had 8 kids, you'd float in water for 8 hours too. So he was really excited about the results that he got. And so he went running to NASA to say, look at this, like the women, they can do this. They can in fact outperform the men. And NASA was like, no, we can't have women outperforming men, right? And so the program was completely canceled and shut down by the president of the United States, and they did not get their moonshot. And so we want to make sure that knowing that these women athletes are as capable or perhaps even better than the men, we need to give them their moonshot. So that's the inspiration behind the name. And this was all the vision of our fearless leader, Victoire Kojivina. And I remember when she told me the name, and I was like, well, that is absolutely perfect. But, you know, we need to give these women and the women behind them their moonshot. We need to pave that way. So Victoire, this is her vision. She's the one that's gotten us all together. She's been a fierce advocate of equity and growth in women's football for quite some time in her work at the UN, in the work that she did at One Football, in the app that she created that was just dedicated to women. And she got a couple of people together like myself that really shared this passion, all different aspects, like tech and football expertise and media expertise. And she was literally, it was weeks after she had her daughter. And I was talking to her and she was just really inspired by, I need to build a better place for her. I want to contribute something that creates more equity. And so a lot of it was being inspired by the birth of her daughter, which is great. And we, it was probably weeks where we all converged into London, got together. And I can tell you that when you get a group of people together that have that shared passion, it was raining and really crappy outside, but the room was just a buzz and electric, and it was just magical. And so we decided, let's do this. So it came together very, very quickly.
That is so amazing. I love the name. I love the story. I love the vision. And I'm going to actually read the vision right now. It is, quote, to become the industry standard of women's football ownership by identifying the next decade's super clubs and fueling their commercial power to attract a massive yet underserved market, female football fans, end quote. And I know we talked a lot about that. Mm-hmm. So I'd love to hear, how do you go about identifying which teams you invest in?
So a couple of things. I think the first thing is we want to make sure that the team and the community really align with the principles and the values that we have. And we actually sat down and wrote those down. Like, this is what's important to us. And that's our guidepost. Like, can we create that equity? Can we, you know, lift the athletes up? Can we create voices around them? Can we create an ecosystem around them? Can we create that commercial success? And remember, women's teams in Europe specifically are really closely aligned to the men. So having that alignment within the larger club is really, really important. So that's first and foremost. But it's also really important that we can create commercial success. That is what we're focused on. I think the growth of women's football is dependent on more and more proof points that we can point to. And so proving that this is a successful business means that we've got to strategically choose where we know we can create success. It's not going to be like everywhere, right? But, you know, a rising tide lifts all ships, right? So if we can strategically choose clubs where we know we can create that success, then everybody's going to benefit from it.
Absolutely. So where are you starting? Where are you going first?
So we have announced that we are working with Lewis, which clearly align with a lot of our principles and values. Things are progressing pretty nicely. We're still in that exclusive stage, but we are super excited about working with them. The team's amazing. The organization is amazing. And they were the first club, I think, in all of Europe to divide their budget between men and women equally. This wasn't a recent thing. They did it back in 2017. So they believe in equity to the same degree that we do. And so that those values and principles aligned very nicely. So we're really excited about moving forward with them.
That's amazing. So you're launched, you've announced you're working with Lewis. What has been the response from the global football and the sports business community? What is everybody saying? What's the buzz around Mercury 13?
I think the word would be overwhelmingly positive. It has given us so much energy and passion because after we announced, I think all of our inboxes just filled up. It has given us so much energy for people who are like, hey, I don't care what you want me to do. I want to help. I want to support. I believe in this. And so that has been amazing. I've had some great conversations on the technology side, the investor side. Everybody truly believes in this. And I think that's what's really going to propel this whole thing forward, right? Not just us, but women's sports, women's football, everything, because it's like this momentum that gets started. Pretty exciting.
It is exciting. And the timing, which I'm sure was very strategic on your end to announce this coming right off of the 2023 Women's World Cup. So zooming out a little bit and just looking at women's global football as a whole, how are you feeling about the current state of it? What gets you really excited about what's going on in the global space?
Coming out of the World Cup, I think we're starting to see some really great data about the sponsorship revenue, obviously the attendance. What's going to be really key is that we've got to sustain that momentum. What also I love is that the momentum that we see in global football is also here in the US, right? We're seeing some great success with some of the new expansion teams. There seems to be so much more interest in it. And then alongside of that, all of the success in the other sports, like look what happened in Nebraska. You know, that was so cool. And all of that is going to create more momentum for all of sports. I mean, college basketball is coming up soon. That's going to be massive. Like, we have professional women's hockey starting soon. I mean, look at all the progress. So if we can keep that going, if we can maintain our voice, if we can maintain that focus, if we can keep the fans engaged, then I think we're off to like a running start that nobody can stop us.
I agree. And I want to ask you another question. I feel bad. This is kind of a negative question. You're such a positive person. You have such a wonderful outlook. But I'm curious to hear your thoughts around what challenges are in place. Are there barriers in place that will keep Mercury 13 from accomplishing these goals? And if so, how are you going to overcome those barriers?
That's a great question. I think, yeah, there's lots of challenges, right? You know, media coverage is just a huge challenge. It's getting better in the US. It's still a huge challenge. It's inconsistent in Europe, in the lower, below the WSL. And, you know, for a club like Lewis, there's very inconsistent video coverage, right? So what that then turns to is that the sports data companies, which I know something about, can't pull the data. And then if you don't have the data, you don't have the content, there's nothing to feed the media. And so we've got to continue to push the agenda that we need more data and content. We need more coverage because, you know, we can invest and we can create these amazing teams that can be very data-driven and strategic and amazing, but people need to be able to see them. And people need to be able to connect with them. And they do that through watching them. They do that through video and content, social media. And so that, I think, is the number one challenge, is just keeping them globally available, right? You know, so people can watch the games. I mean, if you look at like what happened with Wrexham, I mean, in the US, they sell more Wrexham merchandise, I think, than they do in the UK. And that's just because they got that global viewership, right? Through the documentary. And I think that is just a great proof point of if you can tell the stories of these athletes and show them, people connect, they're interested. So I think that's our biggest challenge.
Absolutely. I know you have big goals as an organization. We like to talk about goals here on the podcast. Do you have specific goals laid out? Like how many teams, how many organizations you want to invest in each year? Or is it just we're taking this one step at a time as we build?
Well, Victoria does have some very big goals for identifying and getting investments into teams very, very quickly. And we've thrown some numbers around, but I don't know that there are, you know, specific targets. I have some big goals around what we want to do on the data side. And I have this vision of really being both athlete and fan first focused. You know, I come from an organization where we did a lot of tools and capabilities and strategic work at the team level. But I think on the women's side, if we could really focus on giving the athletes the right feedback and data where they can be at their peak potential, then it makes the coaching job easier. And we also then get that performance data that we can tell better stories with. So I think having that athlete first focus, and I have this vision and dream because I think generative AI can get us there, that the athlete literally, you know, picks up their app, they answer a few questions, and it on the back end uses AI to integrate all the data and tell a story about, well, here is your stats from last week. And based on the fact that we're 3 days from a game day, here's what you should eat today. Here's how many hours you should train. Like, I think it's possible. So I'm really excited about starting to work with visionary people that can help us leverage technology that is all around the holistic potential of that athlete, mental, physical, injury management. Like, that is my vision. But also really getting deeper with the fan as well and finding some really cool solutions that give us a value exchange with that fan. So we don't want to just like be Facebook and just accumulate data, right? We want to make sure that we're using it to create a great experience, to really help get to know them and do some really cool things with them. So I've started those conversations. I'm super excited about it and all of the ways that we can leverage some of the progression in generative AI and data to do some great things for women's sports.
Nancy, I could listen to you talk about the intersection of tech and women's sports all day long, but believe it or not, we're actually towards the end of our conversation here. So we're going to take a short break to hear a message from our partner, and then we'll be back with our closing questions.
As you may know, the goal of this podcast is to show brands, networks, and people in general that it's good business to invest in women's sports. We know that women in sports are incredible and are breaking boundaries and setting records. But did you know they receive less than 10% of all sports media coverage? It's a vicious cycle. The lack of media coverage means fans miss out, while networks and sponsors can't see the fan base and don't invest in the media. Now, more than ever, it's time for brands to jump in. That's why our sponsor, Ally, is making big moves to put an end to the cycle and give women's sports the coverage they deserve. This year, Ally is continuing to invest in access for women's sports through sponsorships with ESPN, CBS, and women-owned outlets, giving fans more opportunities to watch what they want, where they want. So tune in and be part of the change. To learn more, check out watchtochange.com, because we're all better off with an ally.
All right, Nancy, we're back. So just have a few more questions for you to wrap this conversation up.
All right.
Question one, if you could wave a magic wand and create equity in one aspect of sports right now, what would it be?
So I would wave the magic wand and I would go back to 1920 in the UK, because there was a game that changed history. It was the Dick Curladies. I always want to say the Sam Curladies, the Dick Curladies versus St. Helen. It was at Stanley Park, and they drew this crowd of 68,000. And they actually had to turn people away because the stadium only had capacity for 53,000. It was this huge success. But I think it was one of those things that instead of being celebrated, it actually led to being the FA banning women's football for 50 years. So if I could go back, wave that magic wand and find a way to prevent the ban, I think we wouldn't have lost 50 years. The progression of women's football would have been completely different because it was a big success. So I'd love to wave the magic wand and just get rid of that ban and have everybody just celebrate that and see what would have been different.
I love the creativity of that answer. That is so good. And I'm with you. Right. What would have happened if that ban was never in place?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Crazy to think about that success in the 1920s as well.
Yeah.
All right, Nancy, before we get to our final question, is there anything you'd like to plug or share with our listeners?
I would just say be a voice for us in women's sport. I mean, that's how it started with me. I think that's how it started with you. You know, listen to their stories, get to know these athletes in whatever sport you want to watch, and be a voice for us, because that's the more voices we have, the more progress we can make.
Well said. All right, last question. Can you summarize in a few sentences why you think it's good business to invest in women's sports?
Yeah, listen, if you were pitching this business to an investor and you say, hey, I have this undervalued asset, it has high multiples, it creates great opportunities for brands to tap into a new segment of highly educated, younger buyers. We continue to break records. We have portions of the business where the valuations have gone from 5 million to 100 million in less than 5 years. 60% of the population is interested in this. Like, would you even hesitate? I mean, if you just strip away the fact that it's women's sports and you just look at the growth potential, how can you deny that it's not good business?
You simply cannot. It is undeniable. There it is, the business case for women's sports in 30 seconds. Nancy, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Thank you for all you're doing to accelerate the growth of women's football across the globe. I'm so excited to see everything you and your team at Mercury 13 do. So thank you again for coming on to share your insights today.
Thank you. And thank you for doing what you do. You inspire me every day too. So I love your podcast.
Well, it's an honor.
Thank you for listening to the Goals Podcast, the business case for women's sports presented by Ally, a change maker in women's sports steadfast in their commitment to the fight for media equity. because we're all better off with an ally. To learn more about Goals and our work to bring more brand investment into women's sports, be sure to follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram, or visit our website at goals-sports.com. And remember, it's simply good business to be in the business of women's sports.